Hello, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Mary, and welcome to From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
We are excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists who shape our arts community. How do they create and why? And how can Orlando benefit from an even greater arts presence?
On each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Well, hello, Mary.
Hi, Joshua.
Here it is, Sunday again. I feel like I was just in the studio with you, and I'm always looking forward to spending time having great conversations. Have you had a good week?
I had a wonderful week.
What did you do?
Well, let's see. Last
Besides
night,
work.
This past Wednesday night, I went to see a preview of the show over at Mad Cow Theater. They're doing Avenue Q. It is going to be a hit.
Oh, you're thinking of going and get so your tickets now. There's so many talented people in that cast.
No kidding.
Yeah, Kurt von Schmittal is, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Faith Bowles, it's going to be great.
Yes, and Juan Cantu directed it. Yeah, it was perfect.
Juan Cantu is directing everything now, isn't he?
He's Mr. Director.
Good for him. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
So, yeah, I got to see this past weekend. There was so much going on with Central Florida Community Arts. I didn't get out much more than the past that. But we had a show called One, An American Portrait.
Oh, how'd it go?
It was really wonderful. It was a show that was really centered around Memorial Day. And the whole thing was written and conceived about honoring those who had served our country and lost their lives. And so it was very, it was a big honor for me to sit in the audience and watch our singers bring to life the story of America and the sacrifices, the conflicts. I mean, all of those things. It wasn't just all feel good,
right?
But it really was taking us on a journey on love and war through people losing their lives.
Did anyone tape it?
It was really good. Yeah, we did tape it. Yeah, we absolutely did. You'll have to.
I would like
it.
To.
Yeah.
I sat in on the auditions for that.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And boy, I didn't envy that choice having to be made.
Yeah, very hard choices. So also ending Fringe Festival this last weekend. Gosh,
yes.
I've heard so many incredible things about great shows, and I didn't get to see as much as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, there was just accolades galore from this year's Fringe Festival.
This was probably the year that I wanted to do the most, and I probably did the least just because I had some work. But I saw this one experiential piece at the Comfort Inn. It was called Broken Bone Bath. It was a woman from New York City who spoke about her experience of being hit on a bicycle, but she told it from inside a bathtub. So there she was, nude in the bathtub with bubbles around her, with her back turned to us. There were three sets of three chairs. So there were like nine chairs there, and then someone sat on the toilet and a few people at the door. Okay.
Where is this going,
Mary? The cover
was
down. The cover was down. Well, no. As soon as we were seated, she turned around and just started to tell us about being hit, what happened to her hand. It was in a cast still. And all the people that helped her, and my friend Cindy was next to me, washed her hair, and I massaged her hand at one point. She asked for help. And then she'd engage us in conversation. But I want to tell you, it was the coolest experience because I think our guest is already
laughing.
That's why we...
Listen, don't laugh until we introduce you, okay?
No. Take it. He's already making me laugh. Yes, she was so sincere and genuine and authentic, and it was her real experience, and I was really moved by it.
Well, only at the Fringe Festival is there toilets and bath bubbles and the Comfort Inn. I mean,
she had a sold-out house. She probably got best in her venue.
Of course she did. Well, and I know that, you know, they give all these accolades and awards, and last year we were able to win Best Musical for Once I Laughed. This year the Best Musical went to Simpleton.
Yes.
A whole parody on Donald Trump. So, you never know what you're going to get, the Fringe. But really, we loved having Michael and George on the show. And we send both of you love and congrats.
Congratulations.
On just a great, great, great thing.
They made the most ever for their artists.
We love that people can express their art in multiple ways, including this wonderful story you just shared with us, Mary. Well, Mary, by the way, I just have to tell you, I had some friends that tuned in, because those of you listening, you know you can also tune in on iHeartRadio anywhere in the world and check us out. And I had somebody in California listen to the show on iHeartRadio, and they said, who is your co-host? She has the best radio voice ever.
Oh, thank you so much.
So
well,
you have the best.
I just ruined that laughing here. And hopefully there'll be a lot more laughter today, and may I tell us why? Our guest today happens to be one of my favorite people, as is my co-host. And I should say that this person makes me laugh probably more than anyone. And so I'm probably not going to speak as much as possible, but I would like to introduce to all of you Brian Bradley. He's a stand-up comedian. I've improvised with him for years. I did stand-up with you when I first met you years ago. So hello, Brian.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Josh.
Hello,
I'm
welcome.
Still riveted by the story. I got to go back to the Comfort Inn.
You'll never be the same after that.
Hey, she sold out. Mary, there were... How do you get 9 chairs in a bathroom at a Comfort Inn?
We were very close.
How did that woman make any money? And she was just accumulating her Comfort Inn points.
But let me tell you this. She's now doing a bathroom tour.
And I am too.
And she did one bathroom where she sat 24 people. So it was a large house.
That's a big bathroom.
I'm doing a new show. It's called Exit Laughing. And it's about years of, being on pain medication, and which causes severe constipation. So I'm sitting on the toilet and waiting for my Philips stool softeners to kick in. And it's really experiential.
I thought you were serious until
I thought you were serious too.
Part.
Oh, my God.
I love awesome. Mary because she is, Josh, by the way, the most gullible person I've ever met. You can pull pranks on this woman. Keep that in mind.
He's got stories on you, Mary. This is going to be fun.
I have a good one we probably can't tell on the air.
You know what? You're probably thinking of the same one, and I already asked Tom if we were allowed to say it, but you have to be cool about it, he said.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll tell it.
Disney happy ending?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so we're backstage.
My 10-year-old niece listens to the show.
When Disney had the Year of a Million Dreams, yeah. And they would do these spontaneous, wonderful things for guests out of the blue. They'd send you around the world or make you the grand marshal of the parade, and they began to extend these little surprises and wonderful things to their cast members. You might get a DVD player or who knows, little wonderful. It was a great year. You never knew if you were going to get a surprise, and Mary told me that she was so excited she had a gift certificate to get a massage at the Grand Floridian Spa. And I said, well, Mary, you know about the offer they're giving cast members if you ask for a Disney happy ending. That's the code word, and you'll get a surprise.
And I said, well, what is it? Because I don't want to ruin it for you.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it for you. And she bought it.
Oh, my goodness.
She bought it.
You asked.
Well, so later on, I'm in the green room, a full green room of all actors from Adventures Club, Comedy Warehouse, dancers. And it's kind of quiet. I'm like, I'm so excited. I have my first professional massage tomorrow. I'm going to the Grand Floridian, and I'm going to ask for a happy ending. And the room just turns quiet. And Mark Langer yells, what did you just say? And everyone's just staring at me. It's quiet. And I look at Brian in the back, all red face, just like laughing. I'm like, what? What? And then someone whispers to me.
You are a pure and virtuous woman, Mary. Yeah. That's why you didn't know what it was.
A Disney happy ending. You're thinking Bluebirds and Snow White.
There's
got to
be some kind of princess in a beautiful song.
I got to let this ride. Let it ride.
My massage person the next day was this large Helga woman. I think her name was Helga or Olga. And I just kept being stressed, going, oh, my God, I could have been, like, fired or so embarrassed.
Or the happiest woman on earth.
Yeah. Awkward. Well, anyway, so that's our relationship.
I love that.
Pranks, a lot of pranks.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, Brian, you have an amazing just background and all the things that you've done. You're kind of a homegrown hero when it comes to the arts, and we love talking about the arts here in a wide variety of ways, and this is the first time that we've talked about somebody who's gone beyond the community and really made a huge impact. So
that's so hyperbolic.
Well, it's very, very
you've been
very
on Broadway.
True.
You've done Seinfeld. You've toured nationally with your stand-up. And it's pretty big stuff. Tell us about Broadway.
Broadway was the best gig of my life. And pretty much everything they say about it is true. You know?
Like what?
A lot of hard work. And every day I would turn the corner and see that blinking marquee and go, wow. That's where I work. And you're just immersed in so much history. You just such a deep appreciation of these little old theaters and how many things have happened there. I mean,
you were in Greece. What theater at the time?
At the Eugene O'Neill.
Eugene O'Neill.
Oh, wow.
And we decided that they decided to make a splash in this beautiful, historic, rather small theater. They painted hot pink. and in graffiti writing, in black paint, wrote Ramalamalama, Kadingity Ding Dadong, Shubop Shawada Wada, Yippity Boom Da Boom, as if the greasers had spray painted it the night before. And old people just thought we had just, you know, what's the word? Not besmirched, but really done something to an iconic old theater on Broadway. Yeah.
Well, we're so glad you're listening with us tonight. I'm Joshua Vickery, along with my wonderful co-host, Mary Thompson Hunt, and this is From the Heart on Magic 107.7 FM. Our guest today is Brian Bradley, and he is a comedian, Broadway sitcom. He's just funny. Let's just say he's just funny. I've laughed already a bunch of times today, so we're so glad you're with us.
Thank you, Josh.
So tell us, you were telling us about Broadway. You were telling us stories about it. What are some things you didn't like about Broadway? I mean, there's got to be things that you were like, okay, the shiny lights and the great experiences, but was there anything about the lifestyle or about that you were like, okay, I'm ready for this to be over?
No, I would have ridden it out as long as it ran. And anyone who's ever lived in New York will turn green with my apartment story. I just lucked into this amazing apartment on the Upper West Side that was quiet and roomy, and the sun didn't come in until 1 in the afternoon, and you know, and it had a formal dining room, and it was just amazing, and it was cheap, and I had a doorman, and people, and it was the first place I looked at.
And how long were you on Broadway? How long were you in the show?
4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who were some of the stars that came in that you worked with?
Oh, we lovingly called ourselves the Love Boat of Broadway because they would hire anyone who hadn't worked in 20 years. So we had people you'd never heard of, and you go, oh, they're still around, like Dodie Goodman. They put star roles in Miss Lynch, the teacher, and what am I trying to say? Rizzo, and the Beauty School Dropout, the teen angel. And then later my role, I was Vince Fontaine, the DJ, but I did a half-hour pre-curtain show with the audience that was all improvised, and I had a half-hour to myself with the audience.
You were in the review. You were telling me about a review that you had once, right? And the cast kind of teased you over that?
Didn't tease me. They didn't speak to me. It was the New York Times review after we opened, and it started talking about me, and he went on for like four paragraphs about I'm this thunderstorm of tornadic energy, and I tear the place up, and blah, 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 blah. Went on and on and on. Well, four paragraphs. Called me Mr. Bradley, which, you know, that was like a thrill.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and then he leaves the stage, and that's when you hear the thud. And then he ripped it apart. And the only person he gave a good review to was the only one who didn't sing in the whole musical. So, and there were some great singers. I mean, Billy Porter, for crying out loud. He was gracious, but a lot of the kids the next day, they wouldn't talk to me. It's like, I didn't write the review.
I'm sure that still helped, though, right? I mean, when you get a review like that of someone, they're going to come see you, right? Which helps them.
No. We were review proof. It was the first revival of Grease, and Rosie O'Donnell was in it at the summer that the Flintstones came out, when she was as hot as she ever got.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. We were sold out for almost the entire run.
And you had Brooke Shields at one point, I remember you talking about.
Brooke Shields, she was great. And Lucy Lawless, Xena, the Princess Warrior. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Tons of stars.
Yeah, Sally Struthers was in the show for a long time, and we actually had Jennifer Holliday?
From Dreamgirls?
Dreamgirls,
Hudson.
Yeah. Hudson's the newer one. Jennifer Holliday from the original. Dreamgirls, and people would second act the show to see her sing Beauty School Dropout.
How was that relationship with those stars in the cast? Were they, they would want to have a relationship with you and friendship with you and have conversation, and others would just do their own thing, or what?
Most people that I found were just thrilled to be working, loving being on Broadway, and I don't recall, probably Chubby Checker was the only one who kind of kept to himself, but I thought, Chubby Checker, how cool is this? And he would end every show by singing Let's Twist Again like we did last summer, and the whole audience, I'm not exaggerating, everybody would get up and dance in the aisles or their seats.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
That was like a great memory.
How old was he?
old and could still sing.
And dance?
Probably. He could twist back and forth. Everyone you don't have to do a lot of movement.
Even I could twist, Mary. That's
well, speaking of twisting, we're going to twist around and take a break for just a few moments. How's that for a segue?
Sounds good to me.
And we're going to be right back and hear a little bit more from Brian Bradley about what it is to be funny when we come back on 107.7. Welcome back to Magic 107.7. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt with my wonderful co-host Joshua Vickery here from the Heart. We're speaking with Brian Bradley today, one of my favorite friends and funny people. And speaking of funny, Brian, I wanted to ask you, what do people laugh at? What's funny?
I think people inherently know it's funny if they don't even think about it. But I think, you know, recognition is a big factor. When you recognize, oh my God, I do that. Oh my God, I've thought that. Oh, I see that all the time. And, you know, there's just funny things in life that we do or say or think. And when it's brought to your attention by a good observational comic or a sketch or other times, it's just a broad exaggeration. Sometimes, I mean, there's so much.
Yes.
Sometimes when you break it down, I think Woody Allen said, every joke is hostile. And when you think about it, there is a lot of hostility in comedy, but it's a release.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's done in a way that you go, oh, God, I hate that too. Or, oh, my God, yes, I hate that about myself. Or, you know, and it's a release. And then we share as an audience that commonality. And I think, I don't want to be corny, but there is a healingness about when groups of people get together and they share and suddenly they feel okay about themselves.
Yeah, comedy is kind of like just saying the things that everybody else is thinking but doesn't really want to talk about, but you say it in a way that's funny and light. And then, yeah, those kind of topics that nobody ever has conversation about, you can do it in comedy. You know, we talk about a lot of art forms on this show, from, you know, dance to theater. Why is comedy an art? Why would you consider it art?
Well, you can break that down and intellectualize what art is too. But I mean, someone has once said anything that generates a feeling or a response is call that art, which I think is a bit broad. I mean, remember when someone would put a gallery full of red frames in a gallery, just red squares, and they'd call it art. And people were like, well, I'm outraged. I'm bored. This is ridiculous. Aha, that's a valid artistic response. there is an art to look at some of the great physical comedians. What they can do, even if you want to look at Jim Carrey, what he can do with his face and his body is practically, it's a dance. It's beautiful. And timing. And the way he can, or they can extract so many feelings from hilarity to tears to pity to, I mean, a beautiful comic performance is, that's artful.
The pathos. I've once heard that we laugh at other people's pain, and I think that's true. When someone stumbles or falls.
Oh, what's funnier than watching somebody crack their shin on a coffee table? I mean, you just have to step out of the room and laugh for a few minutes.
But you know,
or
you
don't
have.
Step out of the room or just laugh.
Yeah.
And you know you have. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, you combine acting and traditional stand-up and comedy and improvisation, all of that into your shows. And one of your goals, I know you've said, is that you want to break down the barrier, the wall between yourself and the audience and the stage. Are there specific things you do to accomplish that? I mean, there is an art to it. You don't just get up and just start making up jokes as you go. I mean, what do you do to break that wall?
I weave stand up and improv, but I talk to people and I, before the show, I kind of scan and you can see who may or may not, like a hypnotist might say, oh, he's an easy target. And that person, you tell by their body language if they're going to be receptive to talking and sharing. And what I often do, and this is an improvisational thing Mary's familiar with, I will assign you a character or role, even though that's not you. And 99% of the time, the person will take it on. Mm. You know, I remember this real big man. He was like this large Samoan man, and he had a very deep voice, and I made him Mongo. Mongo and me lift car, me move tree. And later in the audience, and I said, dude, I'm sorry if I'm picking on you. What's your real name? He goes, me Mongo. And he bought, I was like, oh, don't people love pretend?
Of course, yeah, you gave them permission.
And old people love to be made or recognized as vital sexual beings. Mm-hmm. If you don't treat them like a grandma,
won't be a grandma.
They come to life. They're like the spark in their eye, like, oh my God, you see it. I'm here.
And we're glad our listeners are here. If you're just turning in, we're with Brian Bradley on From the Heart here on Magic 107.7. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt here with Joshua Vickery and just enjoying Brian. Brian, you were talking about how you make people feel comfortable and things you do to make inclusive. Have you ever thought about doing your stand-up in a bathtub?
Mary, that's going to make no sense if
if someone's just turning in.
Yeah, because Mary went to a Fringe Festival show that was done in a bathtub.
Mary just likes to talk about bathtubs. It's okay. Yeah.
It was one of the most artistic things I've ever seen. There you go.
I loved it. It was a Fringe show. And, you know, it'd be fun. Bath bubbles and the comfort in.
Be fun to do stand-up in a darkened walk-in closet.
You know?
That would be fun. Okay. That sounds like a good Fringe show. I hope
who's
you get
talking?
Picked.
Who's laughing?
Mm. Who comes out of that closet?
You know, when you do sitcoms, you know, or when you're doing other things like there are Broadway shows, the comedy, a lot of it's planned. There's a script and your own twist to it, but it's planned. When you're doing stand-up, you know, stand-up amazes me, whether I've seen it on cruise ships or comedy clubs, and I'm thinking to myself, how much of that is planned and how much are they just making it up as they go? Are you planning? How much is it? You're just funny and you're because, you know, sometimes they're dying and you feel it. And then sometimes you're on and you're just killing it. How much of that is pre-scripted?
Well, depending on the show, and say it was a really good one, I would say 70 to 80% improv and the rest is scripted. A lot of people come up to me, they come on, that guy had to be a plant. I go, no, it wasn't. I never talk to people I've met. If I've met you earlier in the cruise, if I'm working on a ship, I won't talk to you. It has to be fresh. Mm. And they accuse me all the time because people are so playful when they get on stage and they do these amazing things. I go, come on, that had to be set up. I go, no, that was pure magic.
The first time I saw you do improv in your stand-up, well, it was actually when I first met you because you do a lot of improv in your stand-up. You did a fashion show where you got people from the audience to come up and you commented on their clothes, and they would walk like models. And they
only men.
Oh, really? I thought I remembered women.
Maybe one or two. You do not make fun of a woman and what she's wearing.
All right.
Big.
Is that a rule of comedy?
That's a rule of life, my friend. You can make fun of any man and what he's wearing, and he's going, whatever, I don't care. You do not look at a woman and go, oh.
Are you sure every man doesn't care that you make fun of what he's wearing?
Well, most guys don't care.
Sure,
or they have
exceptions.
A sense of humor. But,
he's made fun of things I've worn.
Never, never. Have I said anything today?
Not yet.
No, okay.
He likes what you're wearing today, Mary.
Yeah, so did 1968. Anyway, see what I did? And I didn't mean that.
It just comes out, right? It just happens when you're funny, you're funny, and it just happens.
Just because I have a peace sign on me.
I know.
So not to get really serious, but I am curious about, I'm being able to be a part of some really incredible conversations now about improv and how the exercises of improv and breaking down those barriers can really be great teaching moments too. So I'm a part of some conversations now about like the medical community and how can bringing improv into medical school teach doctors empathy and how can it teach them how to break down the you know, interpersonal relationship stuff. What do you think are some things that improv and comedy can help people do?
Wow. What a great thing. You've just offered a whole new career for me. I think I'm going to start teaching improv workshops in med school.
There you go. Hey, there's a market for it.
I'd have to think on that, but I can tell you, having taught workshops to adults and children who have never, ever done improv, all you have to do initially is give them permission. I now give you permission to be silly. You don't have to be yourself, and you don't blah, 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 all the social structures. You don't have to be an executive, and you don't have to behave yourself, and you don't have to be a good kid. Now you can be, you're free just to pretend and be silly. And I'll tell you what, they get their first laugh, and that person has changed forever.
Mm-hmm. I really love that. And if you're just now tuning in, I'm Joshua Vickery, along with my beautiful, wonderful co-host, Mary Thompson Hunt.
Fashionable,
and this
too.
Is fashionable, yeah. Yes. From the heart on Magic 107.7
FM. Very coordinated.
Will you let me tell something about this radio show? And we're here with our very funny interrupting guest, Brian Bradley. But Brian, you just said something really deep, that you improv gives people permission to just be anybody.
Yeah.
They can leave behind all the cares of the world, all the struggles and insecurities they might have, and just become whoever they want to be.
But the truth is,
it's
that's
pretty powerful,
life too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, at any moment, we give ourselves our own parameters of who we can be and what we can say and do. But when you add that element of play, people's imaginations will take over.
Absolutely.
Their experience of themselves gets bigger. And then there are things that are funny in exercises, like mirroring each other. But that's what we do when we're really connected in a mm-hmm. real conversation, if mm-hmm. you notice. But so we're actually kind of teaching people how to play together.
I had a kid on stage with me. I never met the kid. I didn't know what he could do. I just asked, who out there can make sound effects like a good machine gun or a I was always terrible at it. So as I told the story, he would make the sounds, whatever sound, a creaking, mm-hmm. creaking feet, there's a cat, and this kid. And then he started, we wound up, there was a person wound up in the back seat of this imaginary car. He starts adding dialogue. And the more this kid got laughs, the more he took, and he just went crazy. Mm-hmm. And his father came up to me later and he said, I'm that kid's father, and I've never seen that mm-hmm. side of my kid
wow.
before. What?
Wow.
Did you do to him?
Wow.
And he was like beaming with pride because his kid was a star on the cruise ship mm-hmm. the rest of the week. Mm. And I don't know. Even if the kid's got a good story, but maybe it opened a door in him, or maybe he just has a good story.
Absolutely.
But for that moment, he was a different kid. And that's what
something you said
so cool
before
about
when they get their first laugh. But I think that when someone experiences getting a laugh, they're experiencing themselves of making a difference. They had impact on
they
someone.
Touched somebody
yeah.
in a good way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they pleased someone.
Yeah.
And they made someone lighter. And that's empowering.
I know. And as airy-fairy as it sounds, even in life, if you can brighten somebody's day and you see that in their eyes, mm-hmm. it does exactly the same back at you, you know.
Well, I think it also brings validation, too. I mean, when somebody laughs at you in a good way because you're funny,
yeah.
there's a little bit of validation to that. I'm accepted. You know, there's something I said that was funny and accepted and all of that. But I think, you know, I would love for you to just talk quickly a little bit more about what happens. What do you see happen with people when you're doing comedy or when you're doing stand-up and you're doing improv? What happens when you first walk out? Everybody's apprehensive. Is this guy going to be funny? No, they're not. They're already drinking, so they're fine, right?
No.
But how do you see it change? Do you see people change as you do your art?
It depends. Yes, generally. But they're not apprehensive. Anybody who comes to a show has an expectation that it's going to be good because they were told you're a professional, so you have a little cred going in there. I think the hardest part of these poor guys who have to do open mic in a bar somewhere, and you go in thinking these guys are going to be terrible, and to win that crowd over, that's big. But if you go up with a few TV credits and you're the headliner, it's almost a cakewalk because they expect it to be good. And then when you exceed their expectations or surprise them,
mm-hmm.
that's when they change.
Mm.
That's when you can feel the whole energy change. And when they realize it's about them
mm-hmm.
and you're not just monologizing at them
mm-hmm.
and they go, oh my God, this is happening. This is happening for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of the laughter changes. It's crisper and more present. And it's kind of interesting. And after the show, they go, I've had people come up and go, did that just, what? that just happened? Mm-hmm. That was just you just, we just went on this big journey and like, hey. Yeah.
And how do you keep it fresh? I mean, how do you keep it new? How do you keep it each act exciting?
You run from town to town and never let them know where you are.
And that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to run for just a few minutes, and we're going to come back and learn more and hear more from Brian Bradley, our very funny guest today. But thank you for listening, and come back with us here on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM. Welcome back, listeners. We are so glad that you have tuned in on this Sunday night to From the Heart on Magic 107.7 FM. And whether you are driving home from work or getting ready for another Monday, we're hoping that you've had a few laughs so far on this show. And we're talking about the art of comedy and improvisation with our fantastic and very, very funny guest, Brian.
Interrupting, too.
Interrupting, don't forget that.
See what
Brian,
I did?
Brian, yeah, see what I did there? Yeah, it's kind of a joke, actually.
Yeah.
Brian Bradley, we're so, you're glad you're, now, you know, all of our fans just adore Mary Thompson Hunt, but a lot of them probably haven't actually seen her before. Maybe they did and didn't even know, but you performed with her at the Comedy Warehouse at Disney, right?
Yes.
What is it like to be on stage with Mary Thompson Hunt?
Well, I'll tell you, it's, first of all, you feel safe.
I thought you were going to say sick. I didn't know.
No. You feel safe because you know Mary's going to take you on a journey and or she'll follow your journey. So you feel safe. And it's also kind of cool to be on stage with her because when Mary walks on the stage, everybody instantly loves her because of her beaming smile and her just gorgeous eyes. And she just has this. But not to kiss up, but Mary has a way of opening her heart to the crowd, and the crowd feels it. And so when you're on stage, whether you get to kind of share that a little, you know, because they look at me differently than they look at her. So it was always a joy. And we had, you know, the best gig on Disney property. Mm. You can, you know, wax nostalgic about the good old days, but Disney,
five shows a night.
Disney took a big risk in giving 11 people just here, go do shows, and here's no script and no costumes and no name tags, and go be funny, and by the way, push the edge.
Mm.
Like, what? Are you kidding me? And I sort of had the reputation of being the, if anybody was going to go dirty or double entendre, it was probably going to be me.
And you were that guy.
And then, but then I even fought against it, and they would still accuse me of it. So I don't care. It was still fun. And, but Mary was always a joy. There was a joy. We had a great, really fun, I'm not blowing smoke, but we were a wonderfully loving yet dysfunctional family of players, and it's very sad to see that.
How long did you guys share the stage together?
Oh, I was there 7 years. Mary was there the whole run, I think, like 17 or 18 years,
almost,
right?
Just short of 18 years.
Yeah, so.
Mary, you were on the same stage 5 nights a week for 18 years?
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing.
Matt and Mark estimated I did about 15,000 shows there.
Wow. And how many jokes is that?
Well, depends on the night.
Three.
She
would repeat the same three.
My improv
was
scripted.
Well, you couldn't do that, though, because you guys had a huge fan club, right? I mean, people would come see you all the time.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really do the same.
And things would be yelled at. We'd get embarrassing moments and make up songs about them. I remember we had some great embarrassing moments.
We did.
I remember this one person told the story of he was at sea, a sailor, and they were practicing to do a funeral at sea, and they wanted to make sure that the plank was working. Well, the body wasn't secured, so during the rehearsal, the body actually went into the ocean.
Oh,
but
wow.
Then the people were on their way, so they put a bag of potatoes there. And then when the funeral came, everyone was crying, and the potatoes went over into the water, and they were all looking at each other, and nobody knew.
Oh, wow.
That was one of my favorites.
Oh,
That's funny.
We had some good ones.
Somebody had to do this Spuds for you.
Tell us a really embarrassing story of Mary. Do you have any?
Not that I can think of. No.
But you said she does this thing, though, that when she's realized she's messed up or she said something she shouldn't, she just goes into kind of a
tailspin. And a half laugh, half cry.
You never get to that point where you don't know if you're laughing or you're crying. And I do that. And then I can't stop.
Yeah.
And I think you did that earlier. Yes. I was going to pat you in the back because I thought you would.
And then the audience gets me even more going. So then that becomes 5 minutes.
That's so funny. And you know, and you're listening to From the Heart on Magic 107.7 with my very funny and talented, I keep saying the word funny today, that's just kind of the theme of today's show, I guess, with Brian here, Mary Thompson Hunt. And we are so glad you're listening to us on Magic 107.7. So, you know, you don't have any stories that just, you know, can somehow...
Not that I can repeat on a family show.
That's right.
Because there were a couple times on stage when Mary said words that she did not know she was saying that can't be repeated, especially on a Disney stage. And we had to go, Mary, stop saying that word. And then she realized
then she
what cry. She was saying, and she went into her laugh cry, and we had to get, you know, did a little sniffer of ammonia.
Carry me off the stage,
right.
Literally sometimes.
That is funny. Well, Brian, you have all these different hats that you've worn in an incredible career so far. What's your favorite hat? I mean, do you love being on TV? Do you love being on the stage? Do you love improv? What is it that you love the most? But I guess the most is hard, but what really drives you and fuels you?
Paying my bills. You do it and you realize you do it what you love. Sometimes I wonder if I have a fire in my belly anymore or if I'm just doing it to pay the bills. And then I realize what the alternatives are. I go, oh no, I do have a little fire in my belly because
right.
I still love doing what I do. And it's great when you do a great show. The little I've done on TV is so tedious. So tedious and so unfunny, and give me live performance any day of the week.
And Brian is also so wonderful with older people and children. There's something that you just melt. You see that twinkle in your eye. You have it on your website, the song that you did at the warehouse with this little girl that filled in the blanks. And
if you YouTube Angelina at the Comedy Warehouse, this girl was 5 years old, and I took a chance, and they didn't know who she was. And I just said, you, come here. And we made up a song together. And this little girl just charmed the pants off the audience and me and blew my mind what she was coming up with.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, I gave her permission.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, when every time I nudge you with my elbow, say whatever you want. And it'll be great. And I trust that you'll be great. And she was.
Yeah. But you bring that out of people.
One time there was a little boy I brought up who I would do these things. But like they say, when I forget what I'm going to sing, I'll nudge you. You fill in the word. Not only did this kid start filling in the word, he took over the song and started singing by himself.
He just pushed you out of the way. And
the whole cast came out on stage to look at him going, wow, what's happening? Like, I had to be 11, and the whole cast is like, you're doing something we find challenging. The kid was rhyming and meter, and like, what the heck did this guy come from?
That's hilarious. It was great to watch people discover things about themselves there.
So we always want to learn stuff. You know, we want to be able to give takeaways on these shows. And, you know, you're freelancing now, right? You're doing all sorts of things. You're not really contracted somewhere for one particular thing, right?
Mostly cruise ships.
But you're still your own boss, your own business. You have to go out there and do you have an agent or how does that work?
I have an agent, yes.
Okay. So, but give us some advice for those that are listening to the show now and want to be a comedian. They want to be an improv artist. They want to go do TV and be an actor. What's some advice you could have of
speaking to Orlando comedians?
Orlando community. Well, I mean, whoever's listening to
the
show here on Magic 107.7 FM.
If you want to be an improviser, go to SAC. Those people are great. And I'm not even associated with them. They're just great people.
Why are they great? What makes them great?
Well, they know what they're doing. They're great showmen. They run a professional operation. They keep it clean. Mm-hmm. They could stoop to the dirty, awful stoop. People love to put you in a corner with disgusting suggestions, and they won't take them.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to them. Mm-hmm. They work from the top of their intelligence.
And they teach, too.
And they teach, too. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to be a comedian, get the hell out of Orlando and go to New York or Los Angeles, because you're going to waste your time doing one-nighters in drunken bars, and you'll go nowhere. You have to go where the work is, and it's L.A. or New York.
If you're just turning in, you're on From the Heart, Magic 107.7.
To the cynical comedy tones of Brian Bradley.
I'm Mary Thompson Hunt. I'm with Joshua Vickery, my host. And yes, we are talking to Brian Bradley.
Who interrupts?
Oh, that's right. That's why I said if we can get through Brian Bradley and his interruptions, we're going to be
Have you heard
fun.
The joke about the interrupting cow?
Yeah.
You did.
I just ruined it for you.
You totally ruined it. It's the one joke I know, and it actually fit into the show today.
You can't say, have you heard it?
And you knew you got me, too. Those eyes said, I got you.
So you got to see that in his eyes.
I ruined this one for you.
I'm not doing improv with you, that's for sure. I love it.
And scene.
And Josh is done. He's out. You know, but... All jokes aside, it is a tough business, though. It really is.
Yeah, well, what isn't?
So besides, you know, where you should go, what advice do you have to drive forward, to keep going out there and getting the next gig, and don't be beat down by, you know, maybe something didn't go so well? What's worked for you? Why have you been so successful?
Well, listen, the way it works now is not the way it worked when I was starting. When I was starting, you could get a job from a recommendation by a friend. Mm. And you're lucky if you had a VHS tape. Now everything's websites and with the www, and you have to have a good agent. It's a nightmare. I used to work 5 nights a week at the Comedy Store in L.A., and now you get 3 minutes every 6 months.
Serious?
Oh, it's awful. I mean, getting stage time.
Not you going out there, though, right?
Anybody getting stage time. You have to have some clubs. You have to have a casting director from a major network call to say they want to see you, or you can't get stage time. So anyway, it's much difficult.
So it's a tougher business now than
when
you started.
I was starting in the 80s, and those were the days when it was, oh man, it was looser and more fun, and there were people like Robin Williams, and you know, it was fun. Mm. And now it's cutthroaty and angry, and there's a lot of these guys doing alternative comedy, which means I don't really have to be funny.
So how do you protect yourself from not taking on that kind of anger and dark side? There's a dark side to stand up. That's why
I
didn't like it.
Yeah, there can be.
A lot of unhappy people.
Very unhappy people.
So how do you protect yourself?
I don't know.
Well, one thing I do know about you, you're a very spiritual person. I know you like to meditate. I know you read things that help you stay more centered.
Yes, but a very funny man I knew named Fred Asparagus, he said to me once, be careful, buddy. Don't get too healthy. You'll lose your funny.
Mm.
And he was right.
So does funny come out of a place of desperation or darkness sometimes?
Usually loneliness, rejection. Mm. You talk to any comedian, they'll go, hey, old people think, you must have been the class clown. I go, no, I'm the loser who didn't get picked on a team and walk the track with the mentally challenged guy and the kid with a hole in his heart. Mm. We would walk track because we didn't have any friends and nobody wanted us. So one of them became a comedian.
And then you make fun of the situations that you live through.
You become the outsider looking in.
You know what? I can say that that's from my background too, being the outsider looking in.
Shut up, Mary. Nobody likes you.
Okay, I forgot.
I'm kidding.
I know.
Let's see you shut her down.
I know. Come on. She's the most popular woman everywhere she goes.
Pretty popular.
And she's playing the poor me fiddle.
It's
I don't
the Mary Thompson Hunt and Josh.
You know, when I do that, people send me checks in the mail.
Right, yeah.
I love that. So why is art important? Not just the art of comedy or, you know, the art of improv, but why do you think art in general, creativity, is important to children growing up, elderly people? Why is it important, though?
It is everything. It's everything. And when you, I mean that sounds stupid, but everywhere you go, you hear music and you see art. And if you start taking it for granted or you shut it down, we live in a very vacuous world. And you have to have outlets. And the more... Take a little kid to a Broadway show or a touring company that comes here and watch them change. Mm-hmm. Mm. Look at the impact. These kids today, they don't even have an impact what art in the 60s. I said, if it weren't for pop art, that big word elevator you see on the wall in the mall wouldn't be there. That was art made that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it infuses every aspect of your life. And anybody who discourages it in the school system, you're a moron because you're turning out a generation of illiterate, uncreative, brain-dead idiots, and they're all going to vote for Trump.
with that ending thought, Brian, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
You said pressure. And that's what you really meant.
Yay, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
And thank you for making us laugh today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we needed that.
And you've done some amazing things. Thank you for the great advice, too. If you want to learn more about Brian Bradley and all that he has going on, go check out BrianBradleyComedian.com.
Oh,
that's his website.
I got to see. You got to go digital.
You got the www.com. Mm-hmm.
Also, can they see you in town anywhere?
No, but I have some VHS tapes for sale out of my trunk.
Oh, those are the adult ones. Forget it.
Also, go check out all the other amazing things that are happening in our community and support the arts. Symphonic Cinema, which is our Central Florida Community Arts Orchestra, 155-member orchestra, playing epic film scores like Back to the Future and Jurassic Park and Man of Steel.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible.
Oh,
you can be my guest. You can be Mary and I's guest.
Nice.
That'll be fun. What else is happening in town, Mary?
Avenue Q at Mad Cow just opened. Go see it. It's really funny.
Absolutely. The Maitland Symphony. There are so many other things happening. The Fantastics is still playing at Winter Park Playhouse. They extended their run, as well as Young Frankenstein, the Moonlight Players. Mm-hmm. Lots of things to see and do this week in the arts. Go out, enjoy community.
And thank you so much for joining Joshua Vickery and myself, Mary Thompson Hunt, here on Magic 107.7. Have a great week.
Have a great week.